Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 4. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayana, unto Narayana Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Parayanam?
Parayanam means reciting.
That means if you recite the whole Shastra. If you just receive, Patanam is better. Pat. Okay, just hold it there. And I'll read one line, then you translate. Purport. All the Vedic literatures and the Puranas are meant for conquering the darkest region of material existence. The living being is in the state of forgetfulness of his relationship with God due to his being overly attracted to material sense gratification from time immemorial. His struggle for existence in the material world is perpetual, and it is not possible for him to get out of it by making plans. If he at all wants to conquer this perpetual struggle for existence, he must re-establish his eternal relation with God. And one who wants to adopt such remedial measures must take shelter of literatures such as the Vedas and the Puranas. Foolish people say that the Puranas have no connection with the Vedas. However, the Puranas are supplementary explanations of the Vedas intended for different types of men. There are men who are conducted by the mode of goodness, others who are under the mode of passion, and others who are under the mode of ignorance. The Puranas are so divided that any class of men can take advantage of them and gradually regain their lost position and get out of the hard struggle for existence. Srila Suta Goswami shows the way of chanting the Puranas. This may be followed by persons who aspire to be preachers of the Vedic literatures and the Puranas. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana, and it is especially meant for them who desire to get out of the material entanglement permanently. Before reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, respects are offered to great personalities. Narayana, the greatest of personalities. Narayan Rishi, who have shown the way of austerity for humankind, which is repeatedly mentioned throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. Tapo divyam putraka yena saddam shudyad yasmad brahma sokyam tvanantam. Rishabhdev advises his sons to undertake those kind of transcendental austerities which will lead one to eternal life in spiritual existence, eternal happiness in spiritual existence. To Saraswati, the goddess of speech, learning, music, and unto Vyas, who is given the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyas is known as Vedvyas, he who has divided the Vedas. Previously, Ved was there, he divided into four. Into three and then one. And presented the Vedas with its corollary parts for the understanding of human beings in the age of Kali. What does it mean to understand Vedic knowledge? There are different schools of Vedic knowledge. And six main schools are there, which they are called Vedic schools because they all accept Shruti Pramana, they accept the Vedas as evidence of reality. So they all accept that there is a truth. There is a factual message of the Vedas, but they all come to quite different conclusions as to what that truth is. And even the Vaishnavas, they accept Vedanta Darshan. But even within Vedanta Darshan, there are two divisions who are quite opposed to each other. Generally, when we hear talk of Vedanta, we think of Mayavadis because they seem to have usurped Vedanta Darshan. Later, persons who consider themselves Neo-Vedantists have attempted to synthesize all these paths by saying that all paths lead to the same goal, and thus proposing to put an end to centuries of quarrel over what is the actual message of the Vedas. Well, that quarrel is more or less over now anyway, because no one has any interest in philosophy. They're interested in cricket and lipstick and all kinds of stupid things like that. So actually this Jatomat Totopat very much is all as many paths, that as many opinions, that many paths, or all paths lead to the same goal, is very much contributed to the entrance and takeover of gross materialism. Many years ago, I remember reading for the first time in one of Prabhupada's purports of Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela chapter 7, stating that the Mayavadis of Varanasi and the Buddhists of Sarnath, they're all actually gross materialists. Sarnath. So I was surprised because So how is that? Because, you know, they're sadhus, and they're austere, and they appear to be dedicated to spiritual life, even if we have a different opinion to them. They don't seem to be like gross materialists. I mean, you don't use... I mean, Shankaracharya may have taken up temporary residence in a certain section of Vellore, but we don't expect him to be drinking wine and smoking cigarettes. So how are they gross materialists? I mean, it might seem like subtle materialists, but how gross materialists? Well, the answer is because they have no concept of spiritual reality. The Buddhists have no concept of reality whatsoever. They've developed several complex philosophical systems, depending on which school of Buddhism you adhere to, all to explain that there is nothing anyway. Shunya, yes, that's the word. Shunya. Everything is nothing. And the Mayavadis, they strongly oppose the Buddhists and say, no, everything is not nothing. There is Brahman, but it has no shape, no form, no place, no smell, no sound, and you can't understand it. So it has all the characteristics of nothingness. But it's not nothing, it's Brahman. So actually what happens is that they appear to be spiritualists, but they have no concept of spiritual reality, which means that they're just left with matter. So Vyasa is worshipped because he has shown what is reality. And that people misunderstand him is their misfortune. But Vyasa himself in Vedanta Sutra has cut all these, he's shown how all these different wrong ideas are not what he is presenting. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, he has gone further than indicating the Vastavam, the reality, Vastava Vastu, the really real thing. Vastava Vastu means the really real thing. Mayavadis say the Vastu is Brahman, but it's Avastav. Not. Indirectly, there's no. It doesn't have any of the qualities of Vastu. So Vastava Vastu, Vedyam Vastavam, Atra Vastu. This is the actual subject of the Vedas, the reality of the Vedas. Srimad Bhagavatam describes. So Vyasa is worshipped especially for presenting Srimad Bhagavatam, which gives the actual purport of the Vedas in an unambiguous manner. Ambiguous means not clear. You can say in a clear manner, but if you say in unambiguous, it specifies that it's specifically not unclear. So if you can say that in Tamil. Because all the Vedas are meant for indicating Krishna, but in many parts of the Vedic literature, that may not be very clear to persons who do not have the Krishna conscious vision. For one who has Krishna conscious vision, he sees Krishna everywhere. He doesn't need Shastra to see. He doesn't have to see through the eye of Shastra to see Krishna, because anyway he sees Krishna with his purified vision. Recently I was having a discussion with a learned godbrother of mine who contended that dhotis and saris are not worn by residents of the spiritual world. He said, we have no shastric evidence of that. I said, well, Prabhupada always described as Krishna and residents of the spiritual world and great personalities as being dressed in dhotis and saris. So he said, well, if you see the original Sanskrit, it doesn't say that actually. So it's Prabhupada's opinion, you see. See, and Prabhupada taught us to follow Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So if he says something which is not verifiable by Guru, Sadhu or Shastra, then we don't have to accept it. This was the argument being given. So I replied that Prabhupada, he's seeing Krishna. If we think that Prabhupada needs Shastra to see Krishna, then it's inconsistent with the reality of his spiritual stature. I mean, you might want to take your blue jeans to Vaikuntha, but Prabhupada always described that the residents of the spiritual world are dressed in dhotis and saris. And he's seeing it, so you can have your opinion. You can say it's Prabhupada's opinion. I'll accept Prabhupada's opinion. Why your opinion? So, the vision to see Shastra as it is comes from those who are tattva-darshi in the fullest extent of this word. Tattva-darshi, that's generally understood to mean one who has understand the philosophical truths. But tat, that ultimately means Krishna. So tattva means in the highest sense of the term, the word tattva means that which explains Krishna, or Krishna-ness. Krishna is full of Krishna-ness. Bhagavan has his Bhagavata. There's a word for it. So, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santas sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. Lord Brahma says that those whose eyes are tinged with the ointment of love, they see Krishna within their heart always and everywhere. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described that not only within the heart, but everywhere at all times. Krishna also, yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashyati. Tasyaham sulabham, tasyaham napranashami, sachamet napranashati. Krishna also says. So Vyas has given us the Vedas, and the acharyas who are the seers of the truth of the Shastra, they direct us as to what is its meaning. Otherwise, without the acharyas, then we can't understand Shastra. Shastra is the guide how we can come out of the darkness of ignorance and come to the reality. But Shastras are not do-it-yourself guidebooks. You know, like these do-it-yourself books, you learn Hindi through Tamil, Rapidex, something like this. So there's a learn how to I don't know, there's so many things. But of course, it's even that, it's much more helpful. Even to learn Hindi through Tamil, it'll be very difficult, even with the Rapidex book, it'll be very difficult to do so without the association of people who speak Hindi. And what to speak of more complex subjects. Teach yourself heart surgery. Anyone want to volunteer to be the patient? I learned from a book how to do heart surgery. I'll give you a cheap operation, only half price. You can save the rest for the cremation. So this knowledge of the Vedas is even more subtle, more complex. I mean, if you misunderstand one word, then the whole thing is lost. Just like I was saying on the followers of Vedanta Darshan, what is Brahma? And then someone understands this way, someone understands another way, and their whole philosophy is completely different on the basis of that. Yeah. Kim tad Brahma kim adhyatma. So the acharyas, they know what is the message of Vyasadeva. And the acharyas, they worship Srimad Bhagavatam, which gives the Vedyam Vasam Atravastu, the actual message of the Vedas, clearly. And explain that to their disciples, both by precept and by example. I mean, both by teaching and by their personal life. A first-class devotee is called a Bhagavat, Bhagavato Tama. His symptom is that he sees Krishna everywhere. Pashanti Chatmani Bhutanam Esha Bhagavato Tama. He sees Krishna everywhere. Yesterday I was describing how when Sri Siddhanta Saraswati wanted to describe the character, came to describing the symptoms of topmost devotees, he said, you can just see my Gurudev, you will see in him. So person Bhagavad is non-different from the book Bhagavad, is non-different from Bhagavan. Non-different from Bhagavan in that his whole existence is imbued with Bhagavad Smaran, remembrance of the Lord, Bhagavad Sfurti, this... how do you say Sfurti? It means his whole life is enlivened by the Lord. The Bhagavan is manifest to him wholly and totally. And Bhagavad Seva, his whole life is dedicated to the service of the Lord. Many times I was thinking, just like we see Prabhupada is arguing with atheists on the existence of God, but and giving examples and this and that, but we may ask, how is Prabhupada so convinced? Prabhupada is giving so many arguments, and other people are giving other arguments. But for Prabhupada, it wasn't a matter of establishing by argument. He's with Krishna all the time. He's giving different arguments from Shastra, from logic. And the atheists will say, well, show me God. They think if you can see, well, that's evidence. So no one's arguing that this steel dhaba doesn't exist. Steel tumbler it's called here, okay. I learned a Tamil word. Everyone can see. Prabhupada is seeing Krishna. But we don't see Krishna because we don't want to see Krishna. If we see Krishna, it'll interfere with our sense gratification. So Prabhupada shows us Krishna through Shastra. But for him, the Shastra is not required to establish the existence of God. For the Bhagavatas, the Shastra, of course they utilize for preaching, or they serve the Shastra by preaching. But the Bhagavatam is the topmost Shastra because it not only gives evidence of Krishna, but Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna in explaining his leelas. So the devotees, they experience Krishna by reciting Bhagavatam. Now you may say, well, anyway, if they're seeing Krishna all the time, then what do you need Bhagavatam for?
Yep.
But it is the nature of bhakti that a devotee in various ways remembers Krishna, experiences Krishna, appreciates Krishna. And there are various stimuli for remembering Krishna or becoming enlivened in Krishna consciousness for pure devotees, among which one of the principal ones is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he acting as the not only as the ideal acharya, but acting out of his own desire, his own transcendental desire, would regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam. He repeatedly heard from Gadadhar Pandit the narrations of Dhruva Maharaj and Pallad Maharaj. Pallad Charitra, Dhruva Charitra. And he heard especially from Surup Damodar and Rai Ramananda the literatures which explain or they embellish the descriptions of Bhagavatam, 10th canto. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost scripture. And Vedvyas is especially worshipped for his contribution in giving Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedvyas is worshipped by Mayavadis also. You want to know why? I can't understand. Because I can't explain any logical reason for it, because there's no logic in their philosophy anyway. Vyas is a manifestation of Brahma or Maya or and by worshipping him, you also become part of the ineffable Brahma. According to their philosophy, he's also a product of Maya. So, because Brahma is unmanifest, so anything manifest is Maya. So, Vyasadeva is also part of Maya. So, how they think by worshipping him or taking knowledge from him, they can get free from Maya. I mean, everything in their philosophy, it's however much they dress it up in big words and long-winded philosophical jugglery, it's all nonsense. Many years ago, when this 7th chapter of Adi Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita was just published, then this Prabhupada's purports describing about Mayavad, these became available to devotees. Who has read that 7th chapter, Adi Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita? Not many. Anyway, it's a complex philosophy. So I heard, one devotee told me, I didn't hear it ever since then, but once I heard, one devotee told me that a devotee had asked Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, I read this, but I can't understand this Mayavad philosophy. And Prabhupada replied, that's good. Because if you'd understand it, if you can understand it, you'd be in trouble because it doesn't make any sense. That is the tendency of the conditioned soul. Just like a pure devotee always sees Krishna, sees everything in relationship with Krishna. He sees everything how we should use in the service of Krishna. For a pure devotee, yukta vairagya is a natural function of his existence. So in the same way, a non-devotee sees everything, how I can use for my own sense enjoyment. So he also sees Krishna as an object for his sense enjoyment and sees Shastra as something to how I can extract some sense gratification from this. Even the Mayavadis, they're stressing tapasya, vairagya, and they're actually doing that, but they are extracting from that the sense gratification of thinking themselves very much superior to others. That is the biggest sense gratification, to think, now I'm God. So this tendency to extract sense gratification, even from pure devotees who only live for Krishna and only preach about Krishna consciousness. Pure devotee, for the sake of serving Krishna, arranges some develops a temple with, and then there's facilities for living so people can come and live and worship the Lord. And people come and they say, very good facility, I can enjoy it. Oh, I have to worship the Lord to get the right? Okay, I'll do the worship. Immediately convert to sense gratification. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, often when they were building the residential quarters for the devotee, he had deliberately built them very badly, so that after some time they'd all collapse or they'd need renovating. Then the devotees would have to go out and get some domain, they had to do some work. No one will give them money unless they, the idea is they should preach, and then the people would give them something. So acharyas, by example and precept, establish Krishna consciousness. Materialistic people read Bhagavatam and they extract sense gratification from it. By reading Bhagavatam we'll become pious and then we can enjoy sense gratification. And people have the culture that we should offer something to speakers of Bhagavatam, some money, some umbrellas, things like this, and we'll get some piety. And the speaker of Bhagavatam thinks, well, that's pretty good. You see, I speak Bhagavatam, people give me money, umbrellas, collect 50 umbrellas, take them back to the shop, sell them wholesale, and it's a good business. You don't have that here. You see, people, they give umbrellas. It's stated in Shastra, you should give an umbrella to the speaker. So they collect 50, 100 umbrellas at one sitting, sell them off wholesale, like this. And the umbrellas, the next Bhagavad speaker, he gets the same umbrellas, and it goes like this, back and forth. Good umbrella business. One professional Bhagavatam speaker, it seems he became so much frustrated by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's preaching against this Bhagavat business, that he said that, I'm prepared to sweep the streets if I get more money. Then, so the real Bhagavat speaker is not doing so to maintain his body. And the real Bhagavat speaker doesn't avoid the many verses which take up subjects which are unpleasant to hear for materially attached people. Deha patya kalatradishu atmasaineshu asatsvapi. At the beginning of Shukadev's narration, he talks about the asatsainya, the fallible soldiers. We think we are protected by our dehapatya, our children, wife, and so on. People don't like to hear these verses. People like to hear stories of Krishna Leela. Tell us about Ras Leela. All right, we'll tell you. But we'll tell you as Shukadev told. First you sit down and hear. Deha patya kalatradishu asma sainyeshva satsvapi. You listen to all this. But people don't like to hear these things. Materialistic people don't like to hear these things. And materialistic speakers, they need some profit or they need some adoration. Even in our ISKCON, we often think it's a very good class if there are lots of jokes and lots of stories. And sometimes after the class, someone tells me, that was a nice class. I think, what did I do wrong? If we think it's something nice, I enjoyed it, then we never heard Bhagavatam. Last night, recently someone told me that, last night we were doing kirtan, we were really enjoying it. I said, you weren't doing kirtan. That's not kirtan. It's not meant for your enjoyment. How much I enjoy. We shall measure how much I enjoy. But the acharyas turn around our vision. We judge everything by how we enjoy, but they turn it around. They turn around our vision to how we act in a manner that Krishna will be pleased with our activities. Actually, that is happiness, to serve Krishna in the manner that Krishna is pleased. But generally we take how much I will enjoy. then we can't actually enter Krishna consciousness. So very deeply we have to imbibe the mood that is given by our acharyas who represent Vyasadeva. Yesterday, Sankirtan Prabhu was expressing to me, he was a little surprised. I'd explained to these press reporters what is the meaning of Vyasa Puja. That I described it as the day on which I worship Vyasadeva, not the day that I am worshipped. If I think I should be worshipped, then it's the most fallen condition. On the other hand, it is Shastra Vidhi that the disciple should worship the Guru. So it's a dilemma. That is resolved in that the Guru doesn't accept any worship on his own account, but offers it up through the parampara to Krishna. The Guru's duty is to act in a manner that persons coming in contact with him are benefited in Krishna consciousness. Personally, the Guru, his only qualification to be Guru is because of his attitude of service to Krishna. As soon as he thinks himself worshipable, then he's immediately disqualified from accepting any worship. But it is his duty to accept service of others, worship of others, to train them in Krishna consciousness. But everything he offers to Krishna, because he's practiced in doing so anyway, whatever he does he offers to Krishna, so they can also offer the service of others to Krishna. But his only motive in doing so is to see that others can progress in Krishna consciousness. So I'm very fortunate to have the association of so many devotees here. I know you think that I'm helping you in Krishna consciousness, but you're also helping me. You're so kindly listening to what I have to say. We can also speak to the four walls, but it's more enlivening to have the association of devotees. There is nowadays there's one idea called Ritvikism or Sikhism, something like that. Sikh because after Guru Gobind Singh, they no more gurus in Sikhism. So the contention is that no one should be a guru and no one should accept disciples for himself, but they can just act as a Ritvik and everything goes to Prabhupada. Prabhupada's the actual guru. You haven't been on the internet enough. You don't know what it is. But every guru, he thinks he doesn't think I'm accepting these disciples for myself. He thinks I'm bringing to Prabhupada. It's a misunderstanding of guru, just like in the purport yesterday we read that a guru is not the enjoyer of facilities offered by his disciples. So my duty is to guide you according to what Prabhupada taught. That's parampara. And I don't think that you are my property, but rather I think that I don't think anything is my property. Everything is, I don't own anything. Everything superficially mine belongs to Prabhupada. So you may say, well, what's the difference between what I'm saying and this Ritvikism philosophy? Difference is that, is this still running on now the power's gone? Yeah. The difference is that in the Ritvikism idea, the Ritvik priest who gives the name and approves someone for initiation does all the functions of guru, but he doesn't follow up, he doesn't take any responsibility. So I, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas, am accepting the responsibility of taking disciples. That, okay. We have to... I'm taking the responsibility means I take it very seriously to see how you are becoming fixed in Krishna consciousness. Okay. And not just that, you know, well, okay, here's the name which Prabhupada gave, which means I gave. That's some funny idea. And you know, you just read the books. There you are. Prabhupada is non-different from his books. You read them. But guidance is also needed. Unless one is trained, then we can't understand the books, actually. So many times we find devotees that they may be initiated for many years, but they have serious misconceptions. They might have even read the books. So this training is necessary. Hearing from devotees is necessary. This Bhakti Shastri course is going on in Ceylon. That is very good, as long as they teach what Prabhupada taught. I don't have doubts about that in the present context, but I wasn't saying that to undermine the course that's going on, but to stress the point that Prabhupada taught very specifically. It wasn't just that, well, you take his book and then you interpret it any way you like. There's no dhotis in the spiritual world, because I like blue jeans better, or whatever the reason may be. So, guidance is needed. I may say, well, I'm not teaching the Bhakti Shastri course. Sankirtan Prabhu is doing that. So, he's also Guru. Jaha hoite Krishna Bhakti She Guru. I meant to elaborate on that yesterday, I forgot. That who is Guru from whom one gets Krishna Bhakti? So, as I was saying yesterday, all Vaishnavas are Gurus. But giving Diksha, that means to accept responsibility for the spiritual life of the disciple. Giving shiksha, also that's responsible. It's not for irresponsible persons to give shiksha. A lot of damage is caused by irresponsible persons giving shiksha. But diksha means a formal commitment about the disciple and the guru to be responsible to each other in the service of Krishna. And those who have imbibed the shiksha, then it is their duty to help others also to imbibe this shiksha. So in this way, the senior disciples help the guru in his function of imparting knowledge of Krishna. But still go on hearing. Even if a disciple is learned in Shastra, should go on hearing from guru. And it may be sometimes that guru hears from disciple. Maybe sometimes the guru hears from disciple. Just like Vyas heard from Shukadev. Narad heard from Shukadev. So the question may come, who is the guru here? Who is the guru? Sandipani or Krishna? Krishna is the guru of everyone, but he's taught by Sandipani. Just as the cloud collects water from the ocean and rains it down again. So Krishna is Jagat Guru, and he's also Chaitya Guru. The guru of everyone, and he's also the guru within the heart. And within the heart, he may give so much inspiration to understand the knowledge that is given from Guru. Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower, as we were discussing yesterday. Two different people may hear the same instruction and understand it quite differently. Just like we find in the Upanishads, I believe it's described that Virochana, king of the demons, and Indra, king of the devas, approached Brahma for instruction. And Brahma instructed that we are the body. And Virochana was very happy. Oh, very good, I understood. And he went away. But Indra said, is there any higher knowledge than that? And then Virochana already gone away, okay, got rid of him. And then he instructed Indra in actual knowledge of spiritual life. So different people may understand differently. If we're not very sincere to understand, then by hearing from Guru, we may increase our materialistic propensities. Those who are sincere, Krishna, from within, will give them the intelligence to receive the pure messages of Krishna consciousness. And he may give inspiration to understand in some ways even that have not been directly expressed by the Guru. So in this way, Shukadev, he found some things in Bhagavatam which Vyasadeva hadn't expressed. All the Acharyas came and explained Shastra, the Vaishnava Acharyas came and explained. But they didn't find what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. So Shastra is dynamic, it's not a dead book. Guru guides out of the darkness. And when a disciple is mature, then Krishna may bless him with so many realizations. But disciple never thinks that now I have surpassed my Guru. Even in some ways he may apparently have done so. Just like Prabhupada, he preached so much more widely than did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But he always said, it's only by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. He said, he never took personal credit for himself. He said, if I have any credit, it's because I simply tried to follow my Guru Maharaj. Yeah. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also, even though he preached far more widely than his gurus, Gorky Shodas, Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but he always ascribed everything to their mercy, which in fact it is. Although Gorky Shodas, Babaji Maharaj was apparently illiterate, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was Saraswati, knowledge personified. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, all the knowledge of Shastra is contained in one drop of dust from the lotus feet of my Gurudev. So we should approach this with this aprakrita vichar, non-material concept, with faith that there is beyond this material, I don't want, sankalpa vikalpa, beyond this accepting and rejecting, there is surrender to Krishna, and beyond that, love of Krishna. And seeing the behavior of devotees in this world, we can understand that reality, they are living in reality. That the great devotees, they demonstrate the reality of Krishna consciousness by their very existence. If we have doubts about Krishna consciousness, then we have to think, then Prabhupada was, everything he did and everything he said and everything he strove for, it was just an illusion, or what is this? Either Krishna consciousness is real or Prabhupada was in illusion. So are we in illusion or he's in illusion? You want to explain that? Again, I'm giving many examples from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur because I'm studying and trying, not in a material way, but studying his activities and teachings. So he described that when he approached Srila Gorkha Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, he found that Babaji Maharaj didn't care at all Siddhanta Saraswati's worldly qualities. Siddhanta Saraswati was very much respected for his coming from a good family, being very morally upright, being very learned. And wherever he went, whoever he met, people respected him for that. But when he came to Gorky Shodas Babaji Maharaj, he didn't care about that at all. That is so much superior that to him these things don't matter at all. Then he said, I could realize the worthlessness of all those qualities which myself and others considered to be laudable. So the pure devotees, they demonstrate by their very lives, they show what is Krishna consciousness. They are living testimony to those who are not so grossly atheistic as to deny it. They are living testimony of the reality of Krishna consciousness. And so many great acharyas have appeared in this world, and it behooves us to study their activities, their teachings, by doing so, by their mercy, they will pull us up to their platform. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, so many great personalities, pure devotees, Mahabhagavats, were present in this world. But gradually the flow of bhakti became obstructed by the caste Goswamis and others. So he said, I was thinking that how could I couldn't get that association of great devotees. But he said, I feel myself very fortunate that Krishna has sent to me so many devotees who are in no way less than the direct associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I must say I also feel myself very fortunate to have the association, especially some of my disciples are taking Krishna consciousness very seriously. And I take this as Srila Prabhupada's mercy, because I can only instruct my disciples and others to follow Srila Prabhupada very carefully, because what else should I teach? There's nothing else I should teach. If I teach anything else, then I'm a rascal. Anyway, I'm a rascal, but I shouldn't be that kind of rascal. And we're seeing the result, that those who follow, then by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, which is manifest as mercy upon me, then I see that devotees are developing very, very nicely. We're seeing that the mercy of Prabhupada is manifested in this way. And throughout the world, whoever's following Prabhupada's instructions carefully, then the result is that evam prasana manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha, one becomes happy in Krishna consciousness. And if we're not following strictly both in the letter of the Prabhupada's instructions and in the spirit of Prabhupada's instructions, then we'll misunderstand and then we'll fight with each other and so many useless things. Happy with those disciples who are taking this up very seriously, and I ask you all to please do so. Just stay steady in this process. Many times devotees ask me, do you have any specific instruction for me? First, you follow all the basic instructions. If you can do that, that's very good. Then what else to do? That will become manifest. But first, follow all the basic things. Everything comes from these basic principles. If we don't follow these basic principles, then everything else will simply be a cause of distress. We can build a big temple, but if we don't follow the basic principles, we don't have the basic attitude of service to the Lord, then that big temple will simply become something that we fight over or eat and sleep in. So basic things. Chant Maha Mantra, associate with devotees, study Prabhupada's book. Anukulyasya Sankalpa, Pratikulyasya Varjanam. Accept everything which is conducive for practicing Krishna consciousness and reject everything else. Hare Krishna.